Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, April 8th. Do you know the story of Joshua and Jericho? His encounter with those fortified walls sets the framework for handling our difficulties. Let's start the series on facing life's obstacles.
All of us at times face obstacles that seem to be insurmountable. Sometimes it has to do with your finances. You know, there's a financial issue here. There's a real obstacle to your purchasing a home or whatever it might be, or providing the education for your children, or it may be some issue with your health. There are all kinds of obstacles we face, and sometimes we face some things every day. Sometimes they're big obstacles. You tried and you become discouraged and you can't figure out what to do. You're prone to just give up and quit. Now watch this. It is never the will of God to give up and quit in the middle of doing the will of God. Just because there's a barrier, just because there's a wall, because it seems to be absolutely impossible for you to change something. And you and I know that we can't change people sometime, and we can't make somebody love you, and there are things that appear to be impossible, but not so. So with that in mind, and thinking about the nation of Israel standing here before Jericho, what did God say to them? And what did he say to Joshua? And what is he saying to you and me, no matter what that obstacle may be in your life today? I want you to think about it. What is it in your life that if you could change it, you'd change this? It's an obstacle to you. It's a hurt. It's a painful thing. You have to keep looking at it, keep facing it, and wondering if God's ever going to listen, if he's ever going to change it. What is that thing? So with that in mind, listen to this. That's simply this. Every obstacle we face is subject to the power of God. There's no such thing as an obstacle in your life that's greater than the power of God. And it's interesting what the scripture teaches us. For example, when God said to Abraham and to his wife, he said, I'm going to give you a son. She was 90, he was 100, and the scripture says that both of them died laughing. They just start laughing. And what did God say? Is anything too hard for God? So what God says all through the scripture, for example, in Luke, the first chapter, when the angel was talking to Mary and telling her all the things that were going to happen, and he said, your cousin Elizabeth, who is old in age at this point, that she too is going to bear a son. And he said, Is anything impossible to God? And the answer is no. It wasn't impossible before Genesis 1:1, and it won't be impossible when you and I in glory. Everything is subject to the awesome power of God. Now, that being true, what causes you and me to get discouraged? What causes us, for example, to think, well, this is impossible, or this is a hindrance in our life, and so what are we going to do? Well, I think there are three primary reasons. Number one, our focus. We get our focus off of God and on to the obstacle. And you and I know that whenever we begin to focus on some obstacle and some issue or some wall, the more I focus on that thing, the bigger it gets. My focus in face of obstacles in my life must be upon God. A second thing I think that we need to remember is this, that we should focus, for example, on what his resources are and what he's promised rather than on my own resources. There are many things that I know that I'm not strong enough to achieve in life, and you're not. Things that you and I can't do, things that we don't know how to do, maybe whatever the situation. They're beyond us, but nothing is beyond him. So I am to look at every single obstacle in the light of the resources and the power of God. I'm to focus upon his character, that he'll help me in it. I'm to focus upon his resources and his omnipotence. He can deal with it. He can handle it no matter what. Now watch this third reason. The third reason is this. Because I am to focus not on the obstruction, not on this object that's keeping me from achieving, but I'm to look at that as an opportunity. No, don't give me that preacher talk about opportunity. Oh, yes, 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 watch this. Every single obstacle in the path of your life and mine is an opportunity for God to demonstrate his awesome power and love and presence in your life and mine. And the unbelieving world, you know what they want to know? They want to know if our God's real. They want to know that their God is personal. They want to see God involved in your life and my life in such a fashion that when we need Him, which is all the time, they only see the difficulties and they only see the circumstances. We know we need Him all the time. What kind of God is He? Always there, never late, always on time. So when I think about the fact that every single obstacle, without a question, is always subject to Him, I know in my heart that whatever it is, God can and will remove it one way or the other. There's a third thing here, and that's this, that oftentimes God is working on that obstacle in our life when we're not even aware of it. We think, for example, well, if God was at work, I'd be able to see it. And how many times I looked in my own life to realize when I was fretting and fuming about something, and then when God worked it all out, I began to realize that He was working that out while I was over here fuming about it. If I'd have just been able to focus on Him, not the obstacle itself, then I wouldn't have been fretting and fuming and worried about how it's going to work out. After a while, here's what happens. You just learn this is what He's doing. He's working. I don't have to see it. He's not on my schedule. If He were on our schedule, God would always be ahead of time. But He's not. He's working deliberately, lovingly, carefully, and oftentimes this is what gets us. Silently and invisibly. He's at work. We don't see it, so we wonder about it. But He's working. Now, here's a good example of the Scripture. The verse I quote to you often, Isaiah 64:4. Watch this. God acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. That's an awesome verse. God, listen, when you don't step ahead and you don't try to manipulate the circumstance and you figure out your way, Jehovah God is working in your behalf. Listen, He says He acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. And one of the wisest things we can do is learn the principle of waiting upon God. And to wait upon God takes courage. Wait upon God takes trust. Because we want to get it done. We want to remove it. We want to make things work out our way. And so it's interesting here that God was already working in their behalf and getting them the kind of encouragement that they needed. And so, of course, they went back and told Joshua, listen, you know what? We're going to have a fight, but I want to tell you, they're already scared to death. Now, if you're going to have a fight with someone, you want them to be fearful. In other words, if they're fearful, they're going to make mistakes. They're fearful, they're going to get angry. They're going to do the wrong thing. And so that's exactly what was happening. And I think how often, if I could just see what God sees, wouldn't ever doubt Him again, wouldn't fret over anything, not worry about anything. And after a while, you go through enough situations and circumstances in life that you don't fret and worry about anything because you know that the sovereignty of God is in absolute control. And if you're walking in the center of His will for your life, what's He doing? He's working in your behalf. And if you'll think about this, every night when you go to bed, every morning when you get up, all during your unconsciousness, your God is working in your behalf. He doesn't want us fretting and worrying, getting down in the dumps and stewed over things that He already has worked out. How many times have you said to your children who'd come to you when they were small and say, well, will you please do thus and so? When are you going to do thus and so? You're not worried about it. Why? You've already seen the end result. You know what you're going to do. They're not convinced because they don't have it in their hand if it's something. When are you going to buy me so and so? And you've already got it. In fact, you've already got it wrapped up and they don't see it. And they're fretting over it and fretting over it. If they could just see the fact and knew that you already bought it, wrapped it up, and have it on, in fact, their name's on it. And what happens? And they're all stewed up about it. And you just relax and they can't figure out, why don't you get upset? I'm upset. Why don't you get upset? Why? Because Dad already knows what the end result is. God is at work in your life and my life, oftentimes taking care of those things, those obstacles that we think maybe He might have probably forgotten. Then the next thing is this, and that is that God oftentimes requires some preparation before He removes the obstacle in our life. Some preparation on our part. Here's what He did for the nation of Israel. Before the attack on Jericho, all those young men who'd grown up in the wilderness for 40 years, those babies that had grown up, when they got to the promised land, here's what God said to them. Now, before the attack, there's some preparation. Number one, all these kids who were born during those times and all those young men must be circumcised. That's a ceremonial law of Almighty God for them. The second thing that happened was this, and it's interesting how God spoke to him, but God also knew, now listen carefully, God also knew that Joshua the leader also needed, listen, he needed to hear from God. There needed to be some preparation. And so here's what happens. He meets him personally. He wants to give him that preparation. Because remember this, the battle plan is that you are going to take the priest with their ram's horn. You're going to put one company before the priest, and then the priest and the Ark of the Covenant. Then the other company of soldiers is going to be behind. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to march around the city one time. Nobody speaks a word. Trumpets blow. That's it. March around second time, three times, four times, five times, six times, seventh day. You're going to march around it seven times, and the wall's going to fall flat. Well, suppose you'd have been a general, and you told your soldiers that. They'd all die laughing. Here's the preparation. Watch this carefully. God knew Joshua needed. He'd already said to him, no one will be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, my servant, so shall I be with you. But now the battle is right in front of him. And what is God doing? He meets him in a moment of meditation. And what does he do? Listen to this. The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And if you'll notice what happens here, here is the Lord standing there, and he sees him in some fashion. He doesn't say anything to him. You know what he does? He just meets him. And the only thing he says is, not do this and do that and do the other. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Do you know why most people never hear God speak? Two reasons. Don't expect it. Don't anticipate it. Not listening, and wouldn't believe it, even if he spoke to them. This is why I said to you over and over and over again, private, quiet, silent meditation before the Lord God opens your heart to be able to hear him speak to you personally about things that he knows you're concerned about. God is willing to speak to our heart if we just allow him. And I can remember an incident in my life, and I've probably told you before. I was up in New Mexico visiting some friends of mine. And it had snowed about 4 days out of the seven I was up there, and I was photographing some. So one morning I got up, and I thought, I'm going to get up and get out of here before anybody else wakes up, so I just need to listen to God. So I walked about a couple of miles up the road, and the road happened to be a little clear at that point, and there's snow everywhere. It was a beautiful morning. And I remember coming up over a particular hill, and I could see the hill, the road sort of dropped off a little ahead of me. And what my eyes feasted upon was these absolutely gorgeous aspen trees at the end. It was a pretty good ways out there, but it just dropped off. And there was a yellow line right here. And so I just stopped and stood there for a moment and just asking the Lord to speak to my heart. It's like God said to me, see that yellow line? It's right down the middle. This is where you must walk. There's a white line over here and a white line over there. Some people, it's okay for them to walk over here or walk over here. But your line is straight down the middle of this road. And I looked down the middle, and of course, my eye went from the yellow stripe all the way out there to the aspen trees. And it's like God said to me, you walk down the middle of this road. You will never regret staying in the middle of the road. The walk of absolute obedience to my will for your life. I can still see that spot. I went back and photographed it so I'd never forget it, but I would never forget it. You see, when he says, do according to all that is written therein, that doesn't mean do some of what God wants you to do and some of what you want to do. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to tell you what size shoe to wear and what sock color socks. That's not the issue. We're talking about life. We're talking about issues. We're talking about principles. We're talking about decisions that you and I have to make. When you and I walk down the center of the road of God's will for our life, the best is always out there. It's like those shining, brilliant aspens on a beautiful, sunny, snowy morning. Grab your attention. Says that's what's ahead if you'll just stay in the middle of the road. So here's what he's saying to Joshua. All the things that he was about to face, what is he doing? Simply assuring him He's going to take care of it. You and I don't have to worry and fret over obstacles. God will remove them in His time. The next principle I'd simply say is this, and that is, He will give us very clear instruction. Very clear instruction. Notice what He said to Joshua. He didn't say, look, get yourself a battle plan. I'm going to give you the victory of the land, Joshua. Just get you a battle plan. No, He says, here's what I want you to do. He told him exactly what to do. Now, the reasons you and I come up with for not doing the will of God may sound real convincing to us, but they're not to God. But here's the real reasons. Here's the real reasons we don't. And I think about, again, what He said to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because some things God is going to require of you and me are going to take courage. There's some things that I've had to do that, to be honest, I was afraid. And let's put it this way. I was scared. I was just scared. I think, God, how's this going to work out? Or suppose I fail. Lord, I don't know that I know how to do thus and so. It takes courage to be obedient to God because there are going to be things in our life that we can't figure out. Sometimes it takes patience because God is going to remove some obstacle in your life, but He's not going to do it today or next week, next month. It may be next year. Are you willing to trust Him? Willing to be patient and wait upon Him? Are you willing to believe that whatever He says that He will do? Take courage. So if you'll think about it, those three things, courage, patience, faith, those are three winners no matter what you face in life. Now, let me just give you a little warning. When you say, God, I'm committed to You and I want to do Your will, whatever You want me to do, that's what I want. Watch this carefully. Being absolutely infinite in His wisdom, He may remove something that you think you can't do without. Now, that's when it gets a little wobbly, doesn't it? Oh, I'm committed to Jesus up to a point. No, there can't be any points. I'm going to do the will of God if, but, except. Can't be any of that. I either trust Him or I don't. I believe Him or I don't. He'll remove every single obstacle that doesn't fit His will for our life. Now, let me ask you this. Are you willing to say to Him today, God, whatever's in my life that is an obstacle to Your plan, Your will, and Your purpose, I surrender it to You. And some of you are saying, man, I wish you hadn't come to that point. You know why? Because it gets real personal. And what I have to ask is, do I love Jesus Christ enough, who saved me from my sins and gave me the gift of eternal life? Do I recognize Him as Lord? Is He really the boss? Am I willing to trust Him to say, whatever's in my life that You don't want, I'm available for You to remove it. Whatever's in my life You want to change, I'm available for You to change it. I'm available for You to remove every obstacle, change every pathway, take away, add, whatever will help me to become the person God wants me to be and do the work that God has called me to do. You may be surprised what He removes, but let me just say this. I've lived long enough to watch this. Whatever He removes may be very painful, but mark this down. Before too long, you will look back and you'll say, God, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You that You didn't listen to me. You didn't listen to me. Because if You had, I would have missed the blessing. There's no way to lose by being obedient to God.
Thank you for listening to Facing Difficulties. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.